Amen. Where do we begin? Gosh. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Has anyone just been touched by the Lord today or yesterday or last week? I don't know what day it is. Oof. This keeps happening. Oh, Lord. I hear the Lord saying to us, do not mistake visitation for completion. There is something about being delivered from the season and moving into something that's next that often gets confused in the heart of men and women, where we think because we touched something of God last week or this week that we've arrived. The Lord gave me a word for this morning about coming out of Egypt and being in the wilderness. And we're between deliverance and the promise. We're in a place, and the wilderness is not a place where they were forgotten. It's not a place where they were misled, but it is a place where it exposed the things that still needed to be delivered. They came out of Egypt, but the wilderness experience was a place where they were in the presence of God. They were led by the Spirit of God, and those times exposed some things in them that needed to be dealt with. And the Lord was gracious and merciful and did not forget them. There have been so many things that have been said this morning. This might sound a little repetitious by now. Yeah. All right. If you have your Bibles, we're going to be in this story a little bit. You can turn to Exodus 13. Hallelujah. Sorry, I'm still rocked from that first hour. When Pharaoh let the people go, verse 17, when Pharaoh let the people go, God did not lead them on a road through the Philistine country, though that was shorter. Everybody say shorter. For God said if they face war, they might change their minds and return to Egypt. There is something that is happening in this season right now that could feel so disruptive that we might want to run away and just hide. We might want to just go back to the way things were. It was easier back then, and this is just too difficult. I thought God was doing something, and then you find yourself in the midst of a difficulty. God knows what types of difficulties you're ready for. God knows that as we press into his presence and we go down the path that he's leading us, there may be some trouble. And we can make the mistake of seeing the shortcut, the easy road. We can find the way to quickly achieve what we thought God was calling us to instead of taking his path. And in the wilderness, this temptation comes. We see Jesus was baptized by John. Spirit came upon him. He went out into the wilderness, and he was tempted to take the short road. The enemy presented all of the things he knew he was called to. The enemy presented all of the things that he was going to obtain eventually God's way, but he offered him a shortcut. If you just bow down to me, I'll give you the things that you want. If you're hungry, just tell the stone to turn to bread. And it was a shortcut. The temptation to take a shortcut is heavy right now in this season. And I believe that the Lord is speaking to us to follow in his ways. That fire, if you weren't here last week, the fire that was referred to, that was a pillar of his leadership. So we just declare in this place, Jesus, we trust your leadership. We trust him to take us the long way if that's what he wants to do, because he knows what we're ready for. You know, those shortcuts are so tempting. Just an easy way to get what we need. And boy, this really speaks to the heart of us Americans that want what we want. We want it now. We love a good shortcut. When I was a kid, I would flip to the last pages of the book just to see how it would end. We just love shortcuts. We love the easy route. And this wouldn't be such an impactful story if they went through the Red Sea and then, poof, on the other side, it was the Promised Land. And when they got there, it was just milk and honey, no giants. Wouldn't it be nice if life had no giants? They're very real. The giants are very real. But the promise of God is not undone by the presence of giants. When you find yourself in the midst of that adversity, when you find yourself up against a wall, when you think to yourself, I should just lied to my boss, I should have just gone the shortcut, I should have just took what I wanted. When you find yourself up against the giant, don't take it as proof that he's forgotten his promise. In fact, because we're in the wilderness is proof he has not forgotten you. He didn't send them to the wilderness for punishment. God sometimes lets his people go the long way on purpose. He leads them that way. The quickest path is not always the safest path for our spiritual formation. And hear me when I say this, God protects people from battles they are not prepared to sustain. There might be a reason why you're in the season right now and you don't make sense, you're not making sense of the one that you were in, and you're wondering, why did God take us out of that, and why was there such a whirlwind? Why was it so crazy? I thought that was what was supposed to happen. That's where I was supposed to be. This is where we were called, and now everything's changed. Look, this speaks directly to the last season for me. I love the fact that I'm here, and I've always looked back and gone, God, what were you doing? Because a shortcut could have been back in 2012. We just stayed. I used to be here. A bunch of you showed up after I left. He took me the long way. And he did something in me. He did something in me. And he is doing something in you. And if you're in a season of waiting and wondering and questioning, you know, what just happened, I want you to know he probably saved you from destruction. He got you out of that place that you thought was great, but he knew was a mess because the pressure was going to come and it was going to crush you if he didn't lead you. And so I just want you to just take a breath for a minute and realize, even though it's difficult, he is leading. Even though there can be difficulties, he is leading. He continues to make a way. You look out in the wilderness and you just don't know what to do, don't know where to go. Many of us this morning are going, Lord, what's next? He spoke to us. His answers are always in the Word of God. In Isaiah 43:19, he promises, I will even make a road in the wilderness, and I will make rivers in the desert. Some people today are looking around their lives going, this just feels like barren land. It feels like a desert to me. I'm not really sure. Like, can we just go back to last week? You know how much food was in Egypt? There were things that I loved about the last season. And the wilderness works that out of you. The wilderness brings it to the top. If we don't trust that Jesus is leading us even through the hard times, even in the presence of difficulty, if we don't trust he's leading us, we will run back to slavery and bondage. The fire of God is meant to lead us, not visit us. We're not contending for a visitation so that we get another glory-filled Sunday. We're not contending for that. We're contending that this would be a place of habitation. That we're contending for this to not be a place where we visit God. It's not just the meeting place. This is the place that he's called us to come and be in his presence. It is a holy habitation, and it will draw people. It will draw them. At night, the fire led them. And you know, during the day, there was a cloud. He didn't say wait till night. He didn't say wait till later. His leadership does not leave you right here. I'll be right back. His leadership is always before you. He is always appearing. And what happens to us is we go, yeah, well, I thought he would look like a fire. And someone else says, well, he looks like a cloud. And it's all about discerning the season that we are in so we know how to follow him correctly. Because if we follow the fire during the day, we may be misled. Oh, don't forget there is an enemy of your soul that would love to tempt you with an experience, with an emotionalism. You can get so caught up in something that feeds your flesh that you walk away from the leadership of the Holy Spirit. Because we often don't want difficulty. And so if there's an easy road, if there's a shortcut road, if there's just like a, well, we'll take it. I want to bring us back to a place where we question the path to the place of the promise. So we can just ask ourselves in our heart this morning, Lord, am I following you? Lord, am I following you? The wilderness, that season was sustained by supernatural leadership. Exodus 13, 21, a couple verses later. After leaving, they camped on the edge of the desert. By day, the Lord went ahead of them in a pillar of cloud to guide them on their way, and by night, a pillar of fire to give them light so that they could travel by day or by night. Neither the pillar of cloud by day nor the pillar of fire by night left its place in front of the people. When you're looking around saying, Lord, where are you? That is a good sign. You may have wandered away and followed something else. There may have been an enticing leadership. You could have just gotten slip right into laziness. You can slip right into comparison. You can slip right away from the leadership of the Lord when you're trying to make yourself comfortable in a place where he's saying to press on. Because it's easier to sit down than it is to stand up, even if it's standing still. It's just easier to sit down. I do it. I sit. You guys are all sitting down right now. If I'm standing the whole time for worship and then standing up here, my legs are shot. And on Friday night, where's my youth group people? My legs are shot because I played kickball, and I'm almost 50. And it's not something you're supposed to do just like on a whim. I should have stretched. I should have practiced. There should have been training that went into. I just all willy-nilly got out there and dropped a kickball and said, let's run as fast as we can on uneven ground and jump and try to, you know, just to get somebody out. I don't know what I was thinking. Whoops. Should have planned a little better for that one. We had a blast, though. We had a really good time. All right, back to the Lord. Last week's encounter was not about being entertained. It was not about being entertained, having a good time. Those things happen. I want the entertainment in your life to be the Lord. I want God to consume that part of your life where you're just like, I don't want a TV. I don't want to do all of these other things. That I just want God. I'm praying that our entertainment is God. That we want to see the gifts instead of watch shows. We want to see people get saved instead of watch hero movies. Like, we gravitate towards these things for a reason, because we're not doing them in our own lives. We're not seeing them in our surroundings. The reason that we love those kinds of movies, the overcomer, the one who came up and conquered insurmountable odds, the one who should have died in the battle but live to tell the story. The reason we love those so much is because that is the life that we have been called to see. The example that we have is Jesus Christ. And we have this book of history, this book of stories, the book of the miraculous that says if you follow the leadership of Jesus, he takes you on this journey. Anybody on a journey? Yeah, there's good parts, there's difficult parts, but just because it gets hard doesn't mean he's left you. The same fire that comforts us also confronts us. His purpose of fire is to also cleanse us. He uses fire for cleansing. Jesus said he's going to baptize with fire. The Bible says he baptizes with water and with fire. That is not like a Acts 2 moment where everything was good in that room. There was a cleansing process that was started by the fire. We had a great time last week. We were laid out. We were worshiping God. There were people that, I got testimonies of last week. People's lives were changed. Their hearts were transformed. Because the fire wasn't just a tingly emotional experience. It was a cleansing. It was a cleansing of your life. Zach, it was a cleansing. You could be mad at me for sharing your story, but it happened in public. He tried to leave. He thought something was wrong. He was falling under the glory of God. He tried to get out of here, thinking in his mind, I might need a doctor. God kept him here. If you saw him laid out on the steps, he's not a homeless man sleeping in the lobby. It was God doing a cleansing work. And to confirm the work in his life was not an experience. He came up and whispered in my ear, kind of not really a whisper, but it was like, things have changed. I'll keep it that way. Things have changed. God has corrected the desires in our hearts. When you are thirsty for it, he will give you living water. Sometimes our problem is that we're just not thirsty. We're not hungry. We're eating so much of the world, of the wilderness, and dreaming about what we had back in Egypt that we don't even partake of the table of the Lord. Because it's just manna. Day after day after day after day, it's manna. And we forget the provision that's built into his character in that moment. You know, it says something in Acts 2 about when the fire came in that room. At the end, after the descriptive terms of like fire resting on them, like tongues of fire, flames of fire over there, it says, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, Acts 2:4. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit. Tongues of fire came not merely for experience, but to empower us for mission. That what happened and what is continuing to happen is getting us ready to go into the mission. I'm not talking about like our missionary pastors leading us. I'm not talking about like signing up to Africa. You are in your mission field right now. He is using fire to cleanse you, prepare you, and commission you so that you begin to see those missionary things break out in the very circle that he's already placed you in. You have been inserted into your community for a reason. You're not just at that job because it aligns with your degree. You're not just at that place where you're surrounded by other people. You know, come to church to kind of get away from the other people sometimes, right? Oh, I just need to be with the presence of the Lord. I need to be with the children of the Lord. The people I work with, they're so awful. They're so rotten. You should hear the way they talk about their families. You have been sent there. Let that sink in for a second. He didn't just call some to be missionaries and send them away. He has placed you where you are so that you would shine brightly. He's calling us to shine. All right, the wilderness exposes some of the things that need to be worked out in us so that we can shine. Let's go to Numbers. Numbers 14. Oh, I'm here. That night, all the members of the community raised their voices and wept out loud. All the Israelites grumbled against Moses and Aaron, and the whole assembly said to them, if we only had died in Egypt or in this wilderness, why is the Lord bringing us to this land only to let us fall by the sword? Our wives and our children will be taken as plunder. Wouldn't think this life is so hard? They go back to the old way of living. Could you imagine? Maybe you guys weren't as bad as I was, but I could never go back to that. I'd be dead. I should be dead now. If I didn't get out of that, I would have been gone. I died. The old me had to die. Like death was inevitable. There is no going back. And they said to each other, we should choose a leader and go back to Egypt. You know what that looks like? Take us back to when it was easier. Now, all of us, we are not going to lose our senses and just all backslide and go back to the world. But maybe we could just go back to the way things were easier back in the other days, the early church days. Things were easier back then. Can we just go back to the way things used to be? See how this thinking actually comes back into our minds? Last year was easier. It was easier back then. There is an Egypt in all of our lives that is tempting us to go back to because the lie is the grass is greener. You can't survive in Egypt any longer. You are built for this. You were built for the promised land. You were built and prepared to walk through the wilderness to learn to follow Jesus so that when you get to the promise and you see the giants, you don't run away. You just get out of the way and go, wait till they see our God. Wait till they see our God. He's not strengthening them. They were worker slaves. Did you know they were worker slaves in Egypt? They were strong. It's ridiculous that they saw the giants and didn't want to fight. They're strong. Their children got raised in the wilderness. They were not as strong. They didn't have to build things for the Egyptians. They weren't hard manual labor, sun up to sun down. They were like wandering campers. God wasn't like, the next generation will be stronger. We'll wait for them to come around. He used the weak to have victory. You might look at yourself and say, I can't go up against what I have. This is too hard. I can't do it. I agree. You cannot. But God can. And we just have to have faith. God can do the impossible. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. We have to get out of the way and stop thinking of our own strength and our own things that we can do and say, wait till my enemy sees my God. Because he will win the war. He will fight the battle. It is God that we rely on. He leads us to these scary places, and then when we try to tackle it on our own and fall flat on our face, we wonder what happened. He's the warrior. He's the warrior. This tells us, when they wanted to go back to Egypt, let's get a different leader. Let's go back to the easy way of, they just gave us food to keep us working. When they wanted to choose a different leader to go back to the easy way of life, it proved to us in the scriptures that there was a part of Egypt they were still in love with. They still longed for the old glory days. Remember back then, we didn't have to build houses. They just made us live over here in the projects. You know, there is a section of society today that is just being fed. They're being fed lies, but they're also being fed welfare, and they're being fed a lot of control, that as long as they follow the rules and do what everything the government says, they can just kind of live easy street and never, ever prosper. That is not God's plan for mankind. His plan is that you would prosper. I have a plan for you. That you would prosper. It's not like prosperity gospel, like lottery numbers and stuff like that. I'm just saying there are some parts of our society that get overlooked and they're not hungry for anything more because they've been fed just enough. My wife and I did ministry in neighborhoods like that for a long, long time. And you kind of unlock the door with food because that's what kept them there. See, food can be very controlling. And we need to understand that there's spiritual food, there's physical food, there's emotional food. It's called binging. You can go to an all-you-can-eat buffet and binge, but you can also turn on Netflix and binge. You can go to YouTube and binge. And what you do is you just gorge yourself for hours on certain types of food. It's an awful way to control. Stalin was in an interview, and he was asked a bunch of questions. And one of the questions was, how do you keep people under control? And they were on a farm. He agreed to meet in the middle of this, like, chicken farm. He reaches down and grabs a chicken and just begins to pluck the feathers out. It's super painful for the animal. And then he puts the chicken down. It's kind of staggering around, bleeding. And then he takes some grain and puts it in his hand. And the chicken comes and eats out of his hand. And he said, if you can control the food, you can control the people. We're seeing this happen in our society right now. And we're seeing it happen in churches everywhere, where churches are giving out spiritual junk food and keeping people addicted to emotional experiences, and they're not bringing them into a transformative experience with God where they begin to follow the fire. Don't tell your friends I said that. Tell them. Because when the fire of God falls, it is purging and delivering his church from things that have made the church sick, like fear, like performance, like insecurity, like comfort-driven Christianity, like dependence on systems over presence. I'd rather feel the glory of God than a fog machine. I'm not entirely against how other churches do things, but I'm entirely against how other churches do things. Now, if you're writing down, take notes. Pressure reveals what controls us. Pressure reveals what's on the inside. You squeeze a tube of toothpaste, you don't get grape jelly. When pressure comes into your life, it's going to show you what's on the inside, right? So when pressure comes and you totally lose your cool, at least we've got something to work with. This pressure is actually called fasting. I don't like to fast and hang out with people because it brings the worst to the top. This is the time where God's going to deal with things. This is a pressure. If I snap at you, I got to pray about patience. I got to work on things, and now we got to work on each other. I want to fast alone, just me and God, because I got a little grape jelly in my toothpaste. There's nobody here is perfect. Nobody here is done being worked on and refined. And when the fire of God comes, it is a great experience, but it is also pressure unto change. He brought them into the wilderness to change. He had to get them out of Egypt, and then he had to get the Egypt out of them. Isaiah 48 says it this way, I have refined you in the furnace of affliction. You know how many times people rebuke the work of the Lord because they get uncomfortable in what he's doing? Oh, no, my finances are under attack. And it takes you down a road where you realize you've been wasting the provision of God, and he allowed that to happen to refine you in affliction so that you understand it's all his, not just 10%. Don't give it all here. That's not what I'm trying to say. It's not about giving. It's about understanding it all comes from him. We are stewards of all of it. We are accountable for all of it. All of our time, all of our money, all the love we withhold from people. Well, why did he say that? Hebrews 3:12 says, beware an evil heart of unbelief. The pain that you went through was not caused by God, but it will be used by God. He will not waste it. The pain that you went through was not caused by God. It was not his evil plan for you. But because you ended up in the place that you did, he says, I'm going to use that. That I can use that to change things, to perfect things, to to get you ready for things, because if I leave it there, it will sabotage your next season. If you stay unchanged, you have to relive the trial. I so many times we're on the couch of counseling and people are saying, this has been happening to me my whole life. Over and over, these things keep happening. It's because if you don't learn the purpose of the trial and change, he will take you through again. They circled the wilderness for years and years and years and years until they conquered fear by death. He said, your bones will stay here, but your children will go on. He will do it. He will answer your prayers in your next generation if you don't get a hold of it right now. He's promised it to you and through you. So you may not see it if you don't get in line. You don't get obedient. You don't begin to follow closely to that fire. Moses got real close. He was glowing. Not like a pregnant woman, a different kind of glowing. They had to put something over his face because he shined so brightly. Because you talk about Jesus so much at work, they give you your own office. That actually happened to a friend of mine. It didn't stop him, though. He's like, I still have a door. Still have a lunchroom. I love him. Let me read you something. This is progressing someplace, and I know we're gonna need to get to the end here soon. Verse 27 of Numbers 13. Nope, that doesn't exist. Yes, it does. Just on another page. Oh, Lord. They gave Moses this account. They get to the promised land, and they go take a look, and the spies come back. We went into the land to which you sent us, and it does flow with milk and honey. Here is its fruit. But the people who live there are powerful, and the cities are fortified and very large. And we even saw descendants of Anak there. The Amalekites live, the Hittites, the Jebusites, the Amorites, they live in the hill country, and the Canaanites live near the sea and along the Jordan. And that's bad news, just in case you're trying to figure it out. It's very bad news that they just came back with it. Caleb silenced the people before Moses and said, we should go up and take possession of the land, for we can certainly do it. But the men who had gone up with him said, we can't attack those people. They're stronger than we are. And they spread among the Israelites a bad report about the land that they had explored. They said, the land we explored devours those living in it. All of the people we saw there are of great size. We saw the Nephilim there, the descendants of Anak. We seemed like grasshoppers in our own eyes, and we looked the same to them. Were they in the promised land? They certainly were. God can bring you to a place where he wants to prove to you you can overcome the difficulties. He brings you to a place that's not just perfect. Perfection is there. The easiness is there. The thing about milk and honey is you don't really have to work for it. It's just there, right? You just walk up to the cow and the milk is there. You didn't have to like do things with the cow. It just makes the milk. It eats the grass. You just stand back and watch. How about the honey? Same exact thing. There was an ease to the promise if they just followed closely. They thought there was an ease to Egypt in slavery and bondage and sin is easier. It just comes naturally to me. But his promise is easy if we press on. His promise is easy if we press on and take the land. We cannot shy away from the difficulty because we need to remember he still has the victory. He still has the victory. Every prophetic promise will confront intimidating realities. There's another way of saying if you are following after what God has called you to, then you have been prepared to confront the enemies. Remember what they finally did when they got in? Did they have to, like, make catapults and bombs and weapons? No, they marched. They were quiet. Then they shouted. And they had the victory. Ooh, but where would they be if they went back to Egypt? Presence of giants doesn't cancel God's promise. And he actually takes you to a place. You broke through out of the last season, and now you're hurtling things leaps and bounds in the next one because you followed him through the breakthrough. Psalm 18:29 says, by my God, I can leap over a wall. But you see a wall and you say, how will I break through? When you've experienced the victory of the previous breakthrough, now he's got you jumping over walls. You don't have to go through the pressure and the pain of the last season. But the wall can be discouraging. What do we do with the wall? We stand, we be still, we be quiet. We don't run from our place. And then praise. When praise breaks out, it's a weapon. When praise breaks out, it's violent in the heavenly realm. When praise breaks out, it does warfare. Well, don't I have to do this more and that more and this more and that more? No. Let's start with lifting up the name. We sang it today. Preeminence. The first place. The highest place. High above the wall. Romans 8:31. If God is for us, who can be against us? The wall? Fear magnifies giants, and faith magnifies God. I love this aspect of deliverance. Just introduce them to your big brother Jesus. He is more powerful. He is the name above all names. And they may not know who you are, but they know who he is. And when you come up against the enemy, you proclaim Jesus, and they have to run. When you resist in his name, they have to flee. My servant Caleb, Numbers 14 says, had another spirit. The wilderness is where God forms a different spirit. If we follow this, we've been on a journey here. If we follow this, we will come out the other side with a different spirit. You will not be the same. Numbers 14:24, my servant Caleb had another spirit because he followed me fully. I will bring him into the land and his descendants shall inherit it. He's about to birth a new spirit in you. Oh, brother, I've been a Christian for a long, long time. He's not done with you. There is a new spirit because there's a new calling, because there's a new season, because there's a new enemy. And he will be defeated as well. We're not just here to ride it out. We're here to overcome. He's taking us from believers and disciples to overcomers. The thing that used to get you down now is trampled under your feet. We are going to be overcomers. The new spirit he's releasing is overcomers in this place. Caleb survived because he carried a different internal posture. God is raising up believers that refuse to bow down to fear and to cynicism. They refuse to bow down to unbelief. When those thoughts rise up in you, they're not a depiction of what's deep inside you. They're a temptation to run away from God. Unbelief is a slippery slope away from God. It's a temptation. You take it into captivity. You arrest that thought. You bring it to Christ and say, here, do something with this. The man in the Bible said, I believe, help me with my unbelief. Simultaneously, he was proclaiming he believes, but understood there were thoughts in his mind that were rising up against the knowledge of God. Oh my goodness. They who wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up on wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall play kickball and not be weary. Lord, anoint your servant. They shall walk and not faint. We will not be afraid. You just say it. I will not be afraid. I will not be afraid. Like, look at yourself in the mirror in the morning when you're brushing your teeth. I have not been given a spirit that bows to fear. I have not been given a spirit of fear, but of power and love. Put your hand on your head and say, I have a sound mind. Power, love, and a sound mind. This is an anointing that he gives with a new spirit. He protects the mind with a helmet of salvation. Are the lies that I'm believing in disbelief taking me to a place where I question if I'm saved? This is the battleground. Make proclamations. I think in Habakkuk or Micah, it says lightning came out of their hands. There is power in what God is doing, in the proclamation and the declaration of the things of God over my own life. If I believe I can pray for someone to lay hands on them and stir up the gifts, why am I not doing it to myself? I believe I can lay hands on her and she'll be healed. Why am I not doing that to myself? I'm laying hands on myself. I'm proclaiming things and reminding my spirit, I have been made for more. You can't carry promised land authority with wilderness unbelief. He is bringing us to a place where we're leaving fear and doubt behind. It's in the rearview mirror, and I'm going to start walking in promised land authority. I'm going to start taking victory after victory after victory, and I'm taking you with me. And Jesse and Rochelle are listening. We are in this together, family. We are going somewhere. We are crossing the Jordan, and we are going in there, and we are not afraid of the giants that stand in our way. Because God has given us the victory. We will be tempted as leadership to look around and think that things aren't working. Think things are drying up. But he brings rivers to desert lands and waste places. My soul thirsts for you in a dry and weary land, it says in Psalm 63. The wilderness removes what we used to lean on so you can discover who truly sustains you. I think God is teaching this house to go deeper in relying on his presence over any person. This is not built on my shoulders, God forbid. This is built on him. It is built on the presence of God coming to a thirsty. You ever see a dry sponge suck up water and not leak through? Like, if we come to him thirsty, if we come to him desperate, if we come to him hungry, we will be fed. How much more will he give those who ask? What are we asking for? Pay my bills, make me better looking, taller, younger, bigger square footage. Maybe a boat would be nice. What are we asking for? We need the Holy Spirit. We need to take that fire that we all touched and bring it on the inside. We need that fire of God on the inside because nothing else matters. You can spend all your time praying for a raise and a boat, but if the fire of God puts you on the edge of a lake where someone gets saved and says, come out on the boat. There's your boat. You followed God to a place where you didn't have to get boat insurance. You followed God to a place where he fulfilled the promise and every desire of your heart, but he did it in a way that's easier than Egypt. Because you're just willing to get a raise and work for it. And the way that God works is he wants to give his children gifts. He wants to place it in your hand. He wants to bless you for it. It's not based on your work. Stop praying for things you have to accomplish in your own strength. Ask God for impossible things. Then he's inspired. You got the ear of the Lord when you ask him to do something for you can't do for yourself. That sounds like a prayer. He's the bread of life. We often mistake the wilderness for being alone. But the presence of God was in the wilderness. God never intended the wilderness to become home. So maybe you think you're going round and round and round and round. I want you to know that he is planning out a destination for you. It was preparation season, not your destiny. He's bringing some people out of the wilderness that have been circling for years and years and years, praying for a mate, praying for a breakthrough, praying for something big to change, praying for this health thing to go away, praying, 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 and going around the wilderness, and he's not forgotten you. He's leading you. He's not forgotten you. He's preparing you. And there comes a moment when God calls his people to cross over boldly. The church is moving from survival into inheritance and from maintenance into mission. We got into maintenance mode through COVID, and we have to wake up and get on mission again. We just got like, let's hold it all together. Nobody die. Let's hold, make sure everything, the bills get paid. And we're rising above that saying, no, it's mission time. Maintenance has got us to this place, but now we're crossing the river. We're going to take a step in the water today. I have the worship team come back up. You can't camp out forever in transition. He is expanding visions right now. You have dreamed a little bit about how life could be different, how life could be better, how you can be used, and he's not just expanding vision, but he's pouring water on those dry places, saying, come to life. In your heart, think of those places, just say, come to life. In Jesus' name, let that dream come to life. Dreams are becoming realities, and we're going to look back and say, do you remember that year where everything changed? Do you remember that year where we just got an upgrade like crazy in the Holy Spirit? Do you remember the year where I just got close to the fire and it burned so much off of me? Everything changed. Do you remember that year? This is something that we should be pressing into over and over and over. But for some of us, that year refers to the year we got saved. And I believe God wants to do it again. I don't mean get saved again. I mean get cleansed again, get called again, get sent again. Just receive what he's pouring out again. My. Enlarge, Isaiah 52, enlarge the place of your tent. This is the word for us, and then we're going to just get into closing. Philippians 3, 13 and 14. I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, reaching forward to those things which are ahead. He is calling us to a place where we are not stuck in the behind, we are stuck in the ahead. We are going forward. I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Jesus Christ. This is not like a leave this place and forget what was said type of message. This is a called into a place where things begin to change. Will you step in? They all had to go to the edge of the Jordan and decide, am I going in there? My grandpa told me there was giants in there. He was right. This isn't easy. But you're not alone. You're not alone. God never called you to wander around your breakthrough forever. There is more. There is so much more. I feel like we're about to cross over into promise. I feel it in my spirit. You can keep your eyes on the giants if you want to. I feel like we're crossing over into a place where shift begins to change things. We felt different this week. It feels different in here. Things are different now. There's a seasonal shift that this church has been going through, and it's happening. It's happening. We're stepping into crossing over, and we're beginning to see the shift of seasons. There's life coming to the trees, flowers coming up. The temperature has changed. Things are changing. Are you ready for it? Will you receive it? Do you accept it? The tension of transition is that it has the opportunity to exhaust you. Where you get to a place where you just say, it was just so much easier when there wasn't so much change. It was easier. We didn't have to fight in the desert. We slept in our own houses back in Egypt. You point to little things where it was easier instead of saying, I will follow you, even though it's difficult. I'll follow you, God, even though I don't want to. Deep down inside, I don't want to. I just want to stay here. I want to stay where it's easy. Oh. I got a chance to go to a thing yesterday. They were celebrating 50 years. I thought that was pretty coincidental, so I went to check it out, and I met people that worked in this organization from the day one. They were still working. They got hired as the first set of crew, 1976, and they're still working, and they got plaques. Want a plaque, Wade? 50 years later, still coming. What do you do now? Same thing I did before. Some of them, nothing's changed. I don't see a single story in Scripture where God tries to describe what it's like to live out this life by saying, nothing's ever going to change. We're going to just stay right here and keep doing the same old thing. Dawn, we're not going to keep doing the same old thing. You know how many meetings she's been in where we announced some change? It was common for, I was like, we should have made her a bumper sticker. Again? Yep, we're doing it again. Some big change is coming again. But this time, it is spiritual change. He is getting us ready. He's moving us towards habitation, where you walk in the doors and it just feels different. My sister came in and laid out flat on the ground because God was doing something in her. Not because she was tired and sleepy. She got in the presence of God and nothing else mattered. Thank you for doing that. You and I had a conversation in the parking lot about Zach. And you said, whatever happened to him, that's what I want. And that thirst didn't go away all week, which is why you came up here. God is looking for thirsty and hungry people to respond to his presence. He is here. He is speaking to us. He is doing a thing in us. And I just want to take a moment to respond. Let's have the worship team sing. We lost a couple of them. Let's worship. Let's press in to the presence of God. I want you to know that this altar is open. If you want to come up and partner with someone in prayer, you can. I know the kiddos are in the room, and so that makes things a little tricky sometimes. Just come up. Come up for a moment. Come and pray and then go. If you need to get out of here, you're free to go. But I want to just ask us to stand. Let's get into a worshipful presence of the Lord for just a moment and let God do a work in us. Amen? If you feel like you've been weary in the wilderness, I want you to come. If you've been thirsty and hungry, and every time I'm talking about God coming through, you've got that thing that hasn't happened yet, I want you to come. If you feel like you relate to the part where you've been up against a wall and you're not sure how to break through, and you just heard today that God can cause you to go over the wall, I want you to come. Because we're jumping walls. We're breaking down. We're taking the promise. We're marching into the promised land. We're crossing over the river, and we're not going to let the enemy stop us because we have the victory. In Jesus' name, amen.